My guest in the studio today is Colin Daniels, who is the regional manager for the Eastern Region for the Macular Society. Now, but Colin, welcome, first of all.
Thank you very much.
And also to your delightful and very large guide dog.
Yes, the formidable Finch. Yes.
Who's fast asleep, I hope, soon. We'll come back to you and what you do in a moment, and we'll also come back a little to the Macular Society and what it does. But I want to first clarify what we mean by macular. What is this area that we're talking about?
Okay, so we have our central vision is controlled by our macula. Which is a point at the back of the eye, which is very small. It's about the size of a grain of rice, but it deals with all our central vision. So any fine detail work that we do, whether that's reading or walking down the road or looking at someone's face, when we're looking at something accurately, it's our macula which is doing that fine detail work. It's a very small area. So our central vision is quite small, but it works alongside the peripheral vision to make a really good image. Our peripheral vision does help build up our big 180-degree field of vision, but it doesn't do as well with the fine detail. And as you move further into the central vision, the amount of effective vision or the amount of fine detail we can see will increase. And eventually when we get into that point right in the middle there, the macula, that's the point in which all our fine detail works.
And is it a vulnerable area? Is it?
It's no more vulnerable than any other part of the retina. We have to look after our vision correctly and make sure that we're doing the right things and protecting it from bright sunlight and doing all those things we're not supposed to do, like not smoke and eat well and take plenty of exercise. All those kind of things that we need to do to look after the rest of our body will help maintain our retina and our eyes in general.
So why do we have to have a Macular Society? What are the problems that you're tackling at the Macular Society?
Well, the Macular Society was formed by a lady called Elizabeth Thomas about 29 years ago, so we're sort of heading into our 30th year. And what she decided, once she found she was registered as severely sight impaired blind, through this thing, this new condition called macular degeneration, no one really knew anything about it. So one of the reasons the Macular Society was developed and was, well, where it came from, was to fund research and to give information and support to people living with macular condition.
But that's not just age-related. You're not only concerned with age-related.
No, any kind of central loss. So people living with central vision loss are more likely to have a macular condition than anything else. But it does mean that they can come to us for information and support around their condition. So it could be something as simple as they want a bit more information about what their condition is. So what age-related macular degeneration is, or what a juvenile condition like the one I have, Stargardt's, is. So we'll be able to give them that information. Also, we can give them further information on support that might be available in their local area around welfare rights or housing or the local sensory support teams. So where they can get help locally for that vision and for that sight loss.
So are you dealing with individuals all the time out of Macular Society? Are you dealing with groups of people? Or what? How do you communicate with the...
Well, we have our first port of contact really is our helpline. So people can contact us through our helpline to discuss their own condition, or it could be a family member who's a bit concerned about granny or whoever is having a little problem with their eyes and they've got this thing called age-related macular degeneration. And they can contact us regarding those, you know, to get more information about those conditions. But as part of our services, we have got a network of 300 peer support groups dotted all over the country where people with macular conditions and their carers, and people actually, funny enough, without macular conditions, will get together to talk about macular conditions and the support that's available in their local area. What tends to happen is that the group leaders, and all these groups are run by volunteers, the group leaders will ask speakers, relevant speakers, to come in, sort of give information about services that are available in particular areas, whether that be the sensory support team around registration and the benefits of being registered if you're at that point being registered severely sight impaired or sight impaired, or maybe the local Age UK team coming around, because the majority of people living with age-related macular conditions are older people. So actually having a bit more understanding of what services are available for older people in the area as well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's not all about sight loss. The world doesn't revolve around sight loss. It is about that. But also it's about passing on information, you know, not reinventing the wheel. If someone's been living with a condition for a long time, maybe they'll be pass on a hint or a tip to somebody in the same group who may be just at the beginning of their sight loss journey.
it's not just a support service that you're offering, although that's clearly a very important part of what the Macular Society does, but it's you're involved in research, looking for cures?
Yeah, we fund research into the prevention, treatment, and potentially the eventual cure of macular conditions. We have a medical board that looks at proposals made by PhD students and various projects and universities and looks at the benefits of what they're trying to determine within their project. We've funded research into stem cells. Stem cell research is a big thing at the moment.
And this effectively would be the restoration of...
The restoration, effectively, the restoration of someone's vision. There's been some very exciting developments recently with stem cell actually being placed into somebody's eyes, and we're still waiting on the results on that for what's called wet age-related macular degeneration. So we're still waiting on the results of that, but it's very interesting, very exciting times. A lot of the research goes towards either side of the age-related macular conditions, so both wet and dry.
Right. You talk about stem cell, but also genome, is there work in that area as well?
There is. A bit trying to understand whether it's hereditary and things like that. It's always... There are lots of things going on.
Sure. And is this research just in the UK, or is there parallel research going on elsewhere?
Research going on all over the world into macular conditions, sort of Japan and Australia and places where... Because it's not just a European thing, it's not just a British thing. The world population lives longer. Macular conditions, especially age-related macular conditions, become more prevalent. As our national age increases, the demographic increases, and people are living longer, more cases of macular degeneration, age-related macular degeneration, become prevalent every day. Lots more women have it because sadly they live longer. Yes. But it's not the end of the world now. I mean, there is help available. So if you have the wet type of macular degeneration, we can have injections now to try and stabilize our vision, stabilize the macula. It doesn't sound very pleasant, but it's injecting Lucentis directly into the eye to effectively stop the bleeding, the leaking of the fluid at the back of the eye, which helps maintain the vision. Some people get a slight improvement, but what it does do is it helps maintain the vision at the state that it's at the level that it's at. Which does effectively beat sight loss. And with luck, if you have enough injections, it may be that they stop them for a wee while because your vision has been stabilised. So it is saving people's vision.
Yeah, and this is the wet type.
This is the wet type, the dry type. Sadly, at the moment, the sort of research into dry macular conditions, it is there, but we're not quite there yet. There's still a way to go before sort of any kind of treatment for dry macular conditions becomes available or is being tested. But it is being researched and it's been looked into, and we're getting there slowly.
Okay. So what is your role? You're the area manager, in fact, the regional manager for the East.
Yes. So for the Central East. So the Macular Society splits the country up into sort of 10 regions, and I sort of look after the Central East region. And my role effectively is to support the groups, the macular support groups within the region, of which there's over 40. So I cover quite a wide sort of distance, travelling around and supporting those groups. Maybe the group leader, wants a bit of help or to find speakers and things like that. I also, to be able to run our society and the support side of the society, we rely heavily on volunteers to cover the roles that we have. So my other role is to recruit those volunteers. Uh-huh. So those roles include sight loss is any form of sight loss can be quite isolating. So one of those things that we have is we have volunteer telephone befrienders who generally are people, are members who will contact somebody with macular condition, have a chat, not necessarily about, as I say, sight loss is not everything.
No.
So we match people about with their interests and likes, and they will ring up maybe once a month or once a fortnight and just have a chat, just to break down that isolation.
And that's open to anybody with sight loss, not specific?
Well, within our, lots of the local society has befriending services, right. But generally we have... the Macular Society is to support people with macular conditions. Mm-hmm. But I'm aware that other local societies do have befriending services that are available for people who want that kind of support.
I should explain that your dog is snoring gently in the background, but it's fine. He can stay there. He's having a rest.
He's heard all of this before. So the other role that we, one of the other roles we have is something called a skills for seeing trainer. And what skills for seeing is, it's about understanding and finding those, that bit of residual vision that may be working a little bit effectively, more effectively than the rest of your macula. And learning and training someone to use that bit of residual vision to be able to see more clearly. So it might be looking at somebody's face, or it could be just using that bit of that vision to read, to be able to read for a little bit longer, maybe with a magnifier. But just make more effective use of that, of that residual vision, that bit, the vision that's still left.
And how can that be done? Would that be the befriender? Would it advise, or assist? Or
no, we have trainers. We train volunteers again to go out to visit people and train people to how to find that bit of vision, and then to move it into the centre of the vision, and then use it effectively. Now, it's not for everyone. It doesn't work for everyone, but it is about. That's part of the first meeting, to see if it will work. It could just be that actually what that person needs is a bit more light on the situation. Because for our maculas to work effectively, it needs good regulated light. So people like sitting in the dark corners of their living rooms and reading and knitting and doing those things. So if you put a big light in that dark corner, all of a sudden they can read a little bit more effectively. But if you're not shown that, and that's not told to you, you don't really know. As I say, again, it's a bit like reinventing the wheel. Why, if someone can come out and show you how to do that, or give you that advice, which is what the Macular Society is all about at the end of the day. It's about giving advice and information and support.
Yeah, sure. So it's a store of knowledge and information. It's current information, international. It knows what's going on around the world. Well, yeah. And it can put that to the service of people who are in this situation.
So we do have some speakers. So if groups, anybody that the listeners have, go to a group and they would like somebody to go out and talk about macular conditions, if you contact the Macular Society via the helpline.
Give us the number of the helpline.
Give me the number of the helpline. The number of the Macular Society helpline is 0300 303 111.
0300 303 111. Okay, yeah. We'll give that number again at the end.
Excellent. We want people to be understanding if their vision is going, or how the macula can affect you. So if people have that knowledge, if they start doing those things that indicate, which I'll talk about in a second, that maybe that you have a level of macular condition or macular degeneration. The more people we can, the bigger drum we can bang, basically.
Are you saying that people like GPs might not recognise
it? But may not recognise it, absolutely. People don't really know what to look for. So there's sort of three things, really, that you need to look for when you're looking for a macular condition. Or potentially what could be a macular condition. It could just be that you're tired. But if it happens regularly, then it may be worth just popping to the optician and having a look. I'd always advocate people going to the opticians as many times as you can, every couple of years or every year as you get older. If you find yourself looking, hunting out more light, so perhaps you're finding yourself leaving a light on around the house when you didn't used to because it's not quite so clear and you're wandering around your house, or you're leaning up against the window when you're trying to read something to just gain that bit more light, to give a bit more light on this page, it could be that you've got some level of macular degeneration. It could be, might not be, but it's worth having a look. If that's a consistent thing, then it's worth having a look at. The other thing to keep an eye on is if sometimes, if say, a straight line might have a slight kink in it. So if we think about a door frame, and if you look at a door frame, and it should be just going running up straight and down, but if it's got a slight bend in it, for absolutely no reason, that could be, again, that you have some level of macular degeneration. Might not be, could be something completely different. But again, if it's consistently happening, it's worth checking out. It's worth going popping to the optician.
And they're all things that one might think, well, I'm tired, my eyes are tired, I'm getting older. But they could be, it's possible that they're a sign of something else.
A sign of something else.
And the best route is to check with the optician.
Absolutely.
Because they can look and see around the back.
They can, right at the back of the eye there.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other thing, obviously, is there's any dark areas where you have areas of non-vision have appeared quickly.
Yes. Would they tend to be central?
If they're to do with your macula, they will be centrally. There are other conditions that can cause the same problem, but the advice is still the same. If any areas of vision just disappear, then go straight to your optician. Do not pass go.
Yeah, okay. So there's a lot that the society is trying to do. Where's it getting the money from?
We are completely, we're a national charity. We're supported by our members initially, because we are a membership organisation. Got over 15,500 members.
And these are not necessarily people who are suffering sight loss themselves.
Majority of them have some level of sight loss, some level of macular condition, or they could be their family members, or they could just be somebody that likes the charity and chooses to be a member. We are the biggest patient voice for one condition in the country, which is quite good. So we've got a huge amount of people that we can get turned to when we're looking for information. We also have 9,000 professional members. We need to sort of increase the knowledge within the professional membership as well about macular conditions. So and the research into them. So we've got a big pool of people. But if I tell you there's over 600,000 people with macular conditions in the country, actually 15,500 people doesn't seem an awful lot. Yeah, so we've got a lot more people to try and encourage to join us in our journey to the eventual cure of macular conditions. The other way is through legacies and donations, people leaving money to us. And you know, we're totally grateful for any money that people donate to us to be able to provide the services that we do. We estimate that we will, you know, our services will be needed by more people because the
population is growing ever older.
So, yeah. And we do some great work, some fantastic work, and we give some good support.
Colin, I'm going to have to cut in and thank you very much for coming in. I know you've got a meeting to go to now. We're going to talk to one of these groups about what you're doing and what's the latest information and so on. I hope that goes very well. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you. Cheers.